Here at Wisconsin Today, I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Next week marks the first day of class for many college students around the state.
Between four-year campuses and technical college programs, hundreds of thousands of students are getting their fall coursework underway.
At the same time, higher education institutions face looming questions of how to deal with budget constraints and affordability issues, how to respond to student mental health concerns, and how to adapt to AI.
In just a bit, we'll check in on some of these pressing issues with the president of the Wisconsin Technical College System.
But first, we start in the southwestern corner of the state at UW-Platteville. Tammy Ivetovich is chancellor of UW-Platteville. Chancellor Ivetovich, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Your campus serves around 6,400 students in undergraduate and graduate programs. What is top of mind for you as the new school year begins?
Well, it's always exciting when we have students come back to campus. So as you said, we're excited to welcome them back next week, and they're moving in this weekend in herd. So we're excited to have that energy on campus again. I think what I'm looking forward to is that UW-Platteville can become what we need to be after we've done some hard work around stabilization of our budget. We have some strategy. We're building some things that we're going to transfer into, I think, some visible momentum for us. So I'm looking forward to our balanced budget leading to some record fundraising, and we have a strategic plan that I think is going to allow us to lean into who we are. Our identity is strong here. We have great outcomes for our students. And I also want to talk about UW-Platteville's role as a regional economic engine. We recently commissioned an economic impact study, and the data shows that we have a definite impact on the state of Wisconsin, and I'm going to be talking about that a lot.
With that hard work in 2023, UW-Platteville eliminated 111 positions to balance your budget in order to erase that $9 million structural deficit. What is the financial outlook now for the campus?
Right. So we did do that hard work, and it doesn't go without saying that, you know, we lost 12% of our workforce. And so how do we continue to do that work? We have a stronger budget than we've ever had. We will always have a balanced budget. We've put in place some processes and some structures that will allow us to continue to have that balanced budget. I think the thing that we're going to focus on in this next year, and what we'll always have to focus on, is enrollment. That's how we bring in tuition revenue. And we have some strategies, going forward around our recruitment, marketing, and how we provide our financial aid to our students to help them understand how they can afford college is going to be a focus in this next year. So while that was difficult work, I'm more confident than ever that we are in a strong place now.
You don't anticipate additional staffing cuts in the near future?
I do not. We have put, like I said, we put together some processes that will allow us to always balance our budget, where we roll it over in a way that allows us to adjust and flex. I call it belt and suspenders, depending upon what's happening in the moment. I think if you're going to succeed in higher education, you have to adapt and flex and create that ability to look at what's coming up and adapt to it.
Topic change here. This week, Platteville asked students to voluntarily submit their measles vaccine status. You know, Tuesday, we hear there are 42 confirmed measles cases, 17 probable cases in Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette counties. UW-Platteville, of course, located in Grant County. What impact would measles cases on campus have on the fall semester?
Well, I want to start by saying, you know, this is a voluntary ask of our students. And so I want to start by saying there are no known measles cases on our campus to date, and the university operations are unchanged. Students can move in, they could attend classes, they can practice with their teams, and their vaccination status is not a prerequisite to begin the fall semester. So opting out of sharing their records or not being vaccinated, they will not be penalized for that. We are simply preparing. We're preparing our measles prevention and response plan. The health and safety of our campus community, our students, faculty, and staff is our highest priority. And so we're working with public health officials to make sure that we have a strong plan in place. One of the components of our plan is we're asking our students to voluntarily tell us their immunization status. The system that we are putting in place is a tool to help keep the campus community safe. We're going to collect that information. It will be treated as confidential health data. But having a full understanding of our campus vaccination levels will help our public health officials, and will help us respond should we have a case on campus.
Why not make it mandatory?
You know, I respect that people have different views of vaccinations, and I believe that we're respecting our students' ability to choose. I'm asking them to do it. I think our students understand why we're asking them to do it, and if not, we will help them understand that. But I think, you know, out of respect for our students, we're making it voluntary.
Chancellor Ivetovich, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Tammy Ivetovich is Chancellor of UW-Platteville. We're talking with her as students at UW campuses begin fall coursework next week. Now, shift over here. We look at the state's 16 technical colleges. We have Layla Merrifield, President of the Wisconsin Technical College System, with us. President Merrifield, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
What are you most focused on as this academic year gets underway?
Well, it's an exciting time in the technical college system. Obviously, we are busy as our term really started in the last week or two, depending on the campus. Mm-hmm. So students are back and campuses are full. We have a rural health transformation project that we are in the middle of implementing thanks to a federal grant. So we hope that will move the needle for some of our rural hospitals who are really struggling with some workforce shortages in specific occupations. And of course, we're excited about the launch of Workforce Pell here in Wisconsin. We hope to have our first couple of programs approved under Workforce Pell by the Department of Workforce Development, hopefully in the next couple of months. We think that's a sea change in terms of how students access short-term programming and something that we worked on with Congress for about 10 years to help get passed. So that and all of the good work that our technical colleges are always doing to serve the state of Wisconsin, it's a busy time.
You've called the upcoming budget years for technical colleges in Wisconsin ugly. What financial pressures are your colleges facing?
Yeah, well, I think much like most Wisconsin families, you know, we're dealing with the effects of inflation over the last 5 years. That is creating a number of pressure points on our campuses. We've also seen some really subpar investments by the state legislature in the Wisconsin Technical College system over the last 10 years. And of course, our property taxes are capped. I know that's something that people always say aren't Wisconsin Technical Colleges partially funded with property taxes, and that is a small portion of our funding, relatively small. But that access has been capped for a number of years now. Since 2014, exactly. So all of that combined has created some pressures. And so you start to see, at around half of our campuses or so, you're going to see some waiting lists for really high demand, high cost programs, which is unfortunate for our employers as well as our students. But, you know, we have to manage our budgets and manage our resources as best we can.
You've trimmed your system budget in recent years. Do you anticipate cuts to programs or cuts to workforce?
We discontinue programs pretty regularly in our system, but we prefer to do that when they're no longer relevant in the marketplace versus having to do it due to budget constraints. And we're really starting to see, we've always offered small programs that are nonetheless essential to local employers. They count on that pipeline, and we're starting to have to trim back on those things. We continue to do things sharing programming and trimming our administrators, as well as finding things like trying to find savings on healthcare plans, just anything we can do that doesn't harm the classroom, but that saves both taxpayers and students a little bit of money. We're trying all of those ideas.
Where might you anticipate potential program waiting lists? Where are areas that are backed up?
Oh, it totally depends on the region and the campus, but okay. We've seen waiting lists for programs that are essential, like welding, as well as things like ultrasound technician is something I bring up quite a lot. All of our programs have 2 to 3 year waiting lists across the state. And yet that is one area where our hospitals are saying we need more ultrasound techs.
About 294,000 students enrolled in technical colleges around Wisconsin, but we have seen enrollment in decline for more than a decade. What are you doing about declining enrollment?
Well, we really try to meet our students where they are. I think our students, 80% of our students overall are part-time. And so it's not really a matter of fewer students accessing the Wisconsin Technical College system. It's really a matter of how many credits can they afford to take at any given time. And so our FTEs might decline sometimes. But I think it's largely a function of the barriers that our students are facing and how busy their lives are overall. I think, we also, try to, again, stay responsive and manage our enrollments at the same time. And there are just competing pressures there. Again, lots of students on waiting lists across a variety of programs that we just can't afford to expand. At the same time, we realize that our students are facing opportunity costs to go to college that are really unprecedented right now. A lot of employers are desperate for skilled technicians across the state, and they're starting to see a lot of wage pressures trying to keep folks in the workplace as much as possible. So we're always competing sort of counter-cyclically with where the economy is.
I want to land here in the last 30 seconds on artificial intelligence, which is expected to really reshape the job industry. Gateway Technical College partnered with Microsoft last year on a data center academy. Do you anticipate more programs like that will be developed around the state?
Yeah, absolutely. Wherever the demand is, that is where technical colleges try to respond and meet that demand. AI is sort of all-encompassing. We're training our faculty so that they can relay to our students, what's an ethical approach to using AI, as well as understanding how AI is expected to affect whatever industry they're going into, whether that's manufacturing, whether that's healthcare, whether that's marketing and business. We want to make sure that our curriculum is up to date and appropriate to where it needs to be. But AI and manufacturing, I think Technical College is one of the first places in the nation to develop that curriculum and start disseminating it out throughout our system. So it's certainly on our minds.
President Merrifield, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Layla Merrifield is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Earlier, we spoke with Tammy Ivetovich, chancellor of UW-Platteville.